Hi, Odyssey fans. I'm Bob, producer of the Odyssey Adventure Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Adventures in Odyssey Clubhouse Magazine.
Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast. So, Jesse, what's that contraption you've got there?
Oh, this? It's part of my sinister plan. I'm going to booby trap your microphone to shoot silly string at you as soon as you sit down.
How's that coming along?
Not good.
Well, can I suggest a couple things?
Sure.
If you want me to get silly stringed, maybe you should have set it up before I sat down.
That makes sense.
And maybe you shouldn't have told me what the contraption was for.
Well, you know, I guess I'm not the best at sinister plans.
All in all, maybe not the most worthwhile skill to have anyway. But I do know someone who seems to have a few sinister plans.
Who?
Maury Rydell, a mysterious new kid in Odyssey.
Of course.
We met him in Parker for President, and he's in the upcoming episode, The Key Suspect. Seems like he's always up to something, but I can't put my finger on it.
You know, maybe we could interview Atticus Schaefer, the actor who plays him. He might know what Maury's up to.
Let's do it.
All right, well, this is a really exciting podcast for me because we get to welcome Atticus Schaefer, best known as Brick from the Middle, to the podcast. So welcome, Atticus.
Hello, thank you very much.
Atticus, you started performing at a young age. Can you remember what made you want to act and what your first role was?
You know, it's kind of it's a funny story because it was never something where I woke up one day and said, oh, you know, I want to be an actor. Mom, Dad, how do we get me in the business? Actually, from practically the day I was born, my mom was very big on, you know, teaching me and reading storybooks out loud and doing the character voices and whatever. And so she taught me how to read just for the sheer sense of being able to be a good reader, because she is an avid reader and we love books in our family. When I was six, I became the poster child for my hospital. Mm. And when that happened, I would have to go to banquets and make speeches and kind of tell my story, and I would be talking to semi-large rooms full of adults. And I never was afraid. I never got stage fright. I was never really nervous. And so I was at a football game where I was giving a speech. It was a charity football game. And my mom, she was sitting there and she was filming me give my speech. And she kind of just sat there and she said to herself, there has got to be something more to this. It can't just end here. My dad was at his job and a friend of his came up to him with a magazine and said, hey, look, my boy did modeling for so-and-so company. This is him in this magazine. How cool is that? So they got started talking about how do you get into the industry and what sort of things can you do, and he found out the information for a manager. Well, a month later, after signing on and saying, hey, you know, this could be a great adventure, let's try it, I get an audition for a guest star role on a CBS show called The Class, and I booked it. And then everything just snowballed from there.
Wow. Well, you know, you talked about how your family and you are avid readers. Is it true that you're named after Atticus Finch from the book To Kill a Mockingbird?
Yes, and actually it's funny how that came about. That's a story in and of itself. When my mom was pregnant with me, she was told by the doctor after, you know, doing some tests and whatever that I was going to be a girl. One day, my mom had just gotten back from a doctor's appointment. My dad went off to work, and she was at home, got a call from the doctor. Doctor read her some test results, and it was just a checkup, and he was saying at the very end of the call, he goes, yes, it looks like you're going to have a very healthy baby boy. And she goes, I'm sorry, we were told it was a girl. And he pretty much kind of sat there and was like, well, someone messed up. Then they're like, Emily is not going to work. So she looked at her bookshelf and saw To Kill a Mockingbird being on the shelf, and she thought he was a very honorable man, a man who had good values and stood up for them, and she named me after Atticus Finch.
Oh, very cool. Your character on Adventures in Odyssey is going to make you very popular with fans, but right now you're probably best known for your role as Brick on The Middle. How did you book that show?
When I did the audition for The Middle, what a lot of people don't know is there was actually an original pilot to the show. It was a completely different cast, except for myself. That pilot, unfortunately, didn't get picked up. And then about a year and a half later, I get a call, and they're saying, hey, can we talk about the show? And I go, well, sounds great. And they offered the role of Brick back to me for this new pilot. So I've actually been with the show 10 years, whereas the majority of everyone else have only been with it for 8.
Well, when we watch a sitcom on TV, Atticus, it usually runs about 25 minutes or so, about as long as an episode of Adventures in Odyssey. And we know from working on audio dramas that it takes a lot longer than that to put a show together. For The Middle, how long does it take to shoot an episode? And then how long before it's ready to air?
writing the script is what takes the longest, because when we're still on hiatus, we usually film from August to March. That's our shooting schedule.
Okay.
And the writers will actually have to go back to work in June, whereas we, as the actors and a lot of the crew, don't have to go back till August. So it can take several months to put together the script for an episode. But once the script is put together and they have pretty much everything done, it's usually a week of prep, the week of filming, and then a week of editing and post-production. And then a couple weeks later, they'll air the episode.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah, you started on camera work, and then, like your mom said, she was right, you have a cute voice, so you started doing the voiceover. When did you make that transition?
It really happened when the second pilot of The Middle was picked up. It was funny because a lot of my animation stuff, I had done like commercials, you know, radio spots, a couple little guest characters here and there, but I never really committed to the voiceover work. Mm-hmm. And then when I got The Middle and I was filming that more regularly, Disney approached me and I would get more and more auditions for Disney animated projects, and then I would progressively book them, and it sort of snowballed there too. I was offered a role in a Disney show, and at the same time I was doing that, I actually booked a Tim Burton animated movie. Mm-hmm. And those were the two projects that really made me, you know, kind of get bit by the animation bug and say, wow, this is such an interesting field, and it's amazing too for a person like me, because I am a whopping 4'8" in boots on a good day. So I'm probably not going to be a, you know, action star like Russell Crowe or Liam Neeson or someone like that. And they've already done the Hobbit movies, so that was my only chance. What's cool about animation is as long as you can work with your voice, manipulate your voice, and be a believable character through your voice, you really can be whatever character you choose to be.
That's true. And of course, Maury is a character that we're interested in learning more about. How much did you know about Adventures in Odyssey before taking on the role of Maury and becoming part of the show? Were you a listener?
Unfortunately, I wasn't a listener, but my mom listened to it all the time, especially when my brother was little. My mom homeschooled me, whereas with my brother, she public schooled him. And when she was, you know, doing research on homeschooling before I was born, she came across Adventures in Odyssey. And so she was much more familiar with it than I was when I got the audition. And hearing about it and just understanding kind of the plotline of the show and what it teaches, along with being an entertaining show, it was like so thrilling for me.
Oh, excellent. Well, if it's okay with you, can we play a clip of your audition?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right.
I think so. She's at drama club now. Aren't you busy getting ready for the debate tomorrow?
Yeah, my numbers are falling. Any ideas on how to get people interested again?
Maybe you could highlight some of the less serious aspects of the candidates. What superhero they'd be, funny stories from their younger years, that kind of thing.
That's great. And the fact that you have that voice and you're not going to hit puberty again is really an advantage on this show. We really appreciate that.
Absolutely. I'm appreciative of how we were designed, that we only have to go through puberty once. I'm glad I'm out of those years. I've settled. I'm in this voice as opposed to this voice.
We've all been there.
Well, starring in a show for ABC keeps you very busy, Atticus, and yet you went out of your way to rearrange your shooting schedule for The Middle so that you could be on Adventures in Odyssey. Why?
You know, that's the thing, is I'm very blessed with the production that we have on The Middle, because they're very understanding about not only my passions, but the passions of really every cast member. And so they work with each other. They just say, hey, let's make this happen. And then the voiceover projects I do are very understanding. Sometimes they'll have me record multiple episodes at once to kind of have a cue and have me be queued up. And then a couple weeks later, I'll go back and do a couple more episodes. So it really is because I am so passionate about voiceover and lending my voice to these absolutely amazing projects.
Oh, right. Oh, definitely. And your first episode of Odyssey centers around a school election. And I know on the show The Middle, you're a freshman, but in real life, are you finishing up high school here, or where are you?
I have actually graduated.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
The beauty of homeschooling, right?
Yes.
You're very open about your Christian faith, and I just wanted to find out, how does your faith play out in your work?
Being a Christian, obviously I believe that God is the creator of all things. I believe that God is the ultimate artist. It is amazing. If you take a minute, if you take a breath, you sit back and you really pay attention to the beauty that is in the world. There are, you know, there are a lot of things in the world that can kind of be scary and distract you or throw you off course. But when you're in a moment where you can be in your backyard and you can see this little slice of earth that is yours and you're able to enjoy, or when you go on a hike, mm-hmm. that you know God created that and He organized that and orchestrated that, you really can appreciate who He is as the ultimate artist. So when I go into my work, truthfully, it's one of those things where I want to do stuff that is obviously going to bring glory to Him, but it's something that's enjoyable. And that's what I love about doing not only the comedy, but doing the voiceover and animation work, because I get kids and adults all the time that say, hey, we look forward to Wednesday night, or we look forward to Tuesday night. We look forward to when Adventures in Odyssey comes on. We look forward to that, and that brings us so much happiness, and it brings our kids joy. That lights me up. And then, on top of that, a lot of the characters I play, kids and adults look up to as a role model. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I've had my own challenges in my personal life on top of, you know, the challenges that the characters I play face in the shows I work on. And so to have them come up to me and say, you are a role model, you give us hope, or you give us strength, or it's amazing they see what you do, that is so encouraging to me, and that lights up my spirit.
Mm. You know, Atticus, a couple times you've mentioned challenges that you've had. You talked about your hospital and your involvement with that. Is that something you'd be willing to explore with us a little bit?
Absolutely, yes. So what it is I have a bone condition called osteogenesis imperfecta. When I was typed back when I was a baby, I was typed as a type 4. Back then, there were only 4 types. Now they're claiming that there's 8, but truthfully, the typing system is limitless because each child that has OI is unique. Mm. It's a genetic condition, meaning I was born with it. I didn't catch it. They call it brittle bone disease, but that's not accurate because it's not a disease you can catch or develop over time. Pretty much what it means is the collagen in my bones and my bone cells are affected, and they're different from a quote-unquote normal person. So my bones are more fragile. So growing up, I had a lot of breaks and, you know, a lot of situations where specifically my legs needed surgery. And so, I mean, if you were to look at me now, if you were to take an x-ray of my body, my legs from my femur down to my ankle are, you know, they have plates and screws and rods and everything like that. But this is where I believe that it's not a punishment. It's not anything like that. It's one of those things where you're given it because it's going to shape you and make you who you are. I am very blessed to have the mom that I have because this was a learning experience for her. From the minute I was born and knew that I had this severe OI, she would not, will not ever give up not only on me but on my health and well-being. And I know it is because of her, you know, being in the corner of the Lord and being guided to the right people that I am able to actually stand and be able to function. It has taught me a lot about working within your parameters. Mm. It's one thing to be able to say, oh, you know, I'm able-bodied, I can go do this, I can go do that, and whatever. And I find a lot of the kids I talk to, you know, they may start to feel down on themselves and say, well, I love football and I can't be a football player. But here's the cool part. You're able to say, okay, I can't be a football player. Maybe I can be a writer for a sports magazine. Maybe I can be an announcer at a football game. Maybe I can be et cetera, et cetera. You know, you find ways to still achieve your dream, still achieve your goal, just maybe not the way that you originally thought you would.
Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful attitude, Atticus, and I know that a lot of kids are going to be blessed by hearing that.
Thank you. I'm glad to be able to talk about it.
Well, we're glad that you're part of our family. And, you know, as we look forward to more experiences with Maury, we've only heard a little bit about him to this point, but he clearly has a lot more going on that we don't know about. How much did the producers tell you about him? And maybe you can tell us what you'd like to see happen with that character.
I haven't been told too much. I've kind of been given an idea of where he's at now. But as far as what the future may hold, I'm excited. I'm excited to see how long he's going to be keeping up with what he does and how does he do certain things that he does.
Well, we're excited to hear more shows, more Adventures in Odyssey radio episodes about Maury, but Maury also will be appearing in Clubhouse Magazine and the Jones and Parker Mysteries that one of the Odyssey writers, Bob Hoos, writes for the Clubhouse Magazine. So this character of Maury, he is quite a multidimensional, mysterious character who really has a lot going on there. So we're excited that you are that character and you will help bring Maury to life. So thank you, Atticus, for your time, and thank you for being part of the podcast.
Thanks so much. Oh, it's great when a new member of our cast feels comfortable enough to be so candid with us.
Oh, yeah. I was a big fan of Atticus before, but even more so now. You know, I can't wait to hear more episodes with Maury.
There are plenty to come, including The Key Suspect, which airs on November 19th on the radio and online. But between now and then, we've got another episode featuring a tricky kid.
Who?
Well, let's hear a preview.
On the next Adventure in Odyssey, Eugene has big news.
The board has approved a new assistant professor position.
But there's a catch.
There's another candidate applying for the position as well.
Buck is excited.
How can I help?
But his help may go too far.
You skipped school? Why would you do that?
I needed to do something.
What happens when Buck resorts to his old tricks? Find out on the next Adventure in Odyssey.
Ah, it's Buck who's up to something. Maybe he can help me with my booby trap. Anyway, what's going on in the club these days, Bob?
This month we're featuring an episode about Awana. I know many of our listeners love both Awana and Adventures in Odyssey, so this is an episode where they get to come together.
Well, let's hear a preview of that episode, too.
This month on the Odyssey Adventure Club, Camilla's on a treasure hunt with her new friend, Ashmita.
Here's the first clue. Proverbs 18:10.
The clues are Bible verses.
Watch out for a few surprises along the way.
Our God is a consuming fire.
Fire? Wait a minute.
Follow the clues and learn about true treasure this month, only on the Odyssey Adventure Club.
That girl, Ashmita, you heard in the preview? Well, she's based on a real person who lives in Nepal, and we've got a video with more about her in the club right now.
Cool. Well, that's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
Our website is witsend.org/podcast. You can join the club at oaclub.org, or you can call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day's an adventure. Oh, Bob, stand right here and push this button.
No.